I want to talk about Zach that we started to speak about last week. We've been talking the last few weeks that Elam Hazeh is on one hand the challenge is the Muhammad. But the Muhammad and the challenge is really the attempt to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Elam Hazeh Be'etzim is not a negative thing. Elam Hazeh is the only way to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's no, when there won't be any Elam Hazeh, so then it's over. You can't get closer anymore. That's why Be'emes, there's always a painful Nekudah when a person davens Rosh Hashanah v'simulah chata Hashem v'akim v'adecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mamlech on the world, so there won't be any more bechir anymore. You're not going to have the Yetzer, because Baruch Hu is going to be mamlech. And it's all over. So every time Rosh Hashanah, there's always a pinch in your heart that says, "Why should I don't? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mamlech tomorrow, I'm finished." I once told him Gadol about it. He said, "Nachanami," he told me. He once said his Rebbe, who was an even bigger Adam Gadol, from the Gedalia Bali Musar of the previous door, and he said, "Nachanami, once Olam Hazeh is going to stop and there's going to be Gilu Kvoide Yisboruch in the Bria, so you can't get closer anymore. So why do we daven for Rosh Hashanah? We don't want it." So he said, "Fakir, it's part of the Messiah's Nefesh of a Yid and Rosh Hashanah that from Malchus Shemayim is willing to give up his own progress, his own steiging. Oh, but it's a painful zach. I don't know if I'm sharing anybody's emotion. It's one of the painful things I have Rosh Hashanah. That I know that Rosh Hashanah is going to be Gilu Kvoide Yisboruch. So that means you can't get close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. Close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from the challenges. It comes when things aren't clear. When things are blurred. So there's the battle. So on one hand we said Olam Hazeh distracts a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, if he doesn't allow himself to be distracted, so Olam Hazeh could be a Hechatimtza to be Dovak in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be Dovak in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kipshuta. What's the technical aspects of that? So that's the negative side of it. The negative side of it is if you don't let yourself get distracted, you get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's called distracted? And what's not called distracted? Yisrael Sharm says, two sentences I want to read you, and I want to speak about it. Vimu Shailat Ba'atmai, in the paragraph we spoke about last week, Vimu Shailat Ba'atmai, if you control yourself, Nidbak Baboyri. What does that mean? What does it mean you Nidbak Baboyri? So the negative side is you're not going to let yourself get schlepped off. Vos yeh. So how do I use the Olam Hazeh to be Nidbak Baboyri? Mushtamish men Olam, I use Olam Hazeh, Rak Lios Lulu Siyu Alavid Baboyri. The red line, which is the borderline between using Olam Hazeh as a Hechtimtu to be Misrachik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and using Olam Hazeh as a Hechtimtu to be Nidbak in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where's that line? The line is Mishtamish Min Olam Rak Lios Leilu Siyu Alavik Boyri. The line is when a person uses Olam Hazeh only as a Hechatimtza to help you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the definition. That's the answer to the riddle. The answer to the riddle is that every person uses Olam Hazeh as a Siyua to help him serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Olam Hazeh is bringing you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Olam Hazeh is being used not as a Hechatimtza Siyua Barasko, then it's taking you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does L'siyua mean? How does Olam Hazeh help you? So people have a mistaken understanding. People think that Olam Hazeh helps me. If I have a lot of money, I give a lot of tzedakah. If I have a lot of money, so then I'll have a big house and do a lot of hachmas zorchim. That's not the main nekuda. That's a technical zach. So as the Sharm says later on, in Divrei HaMaskil Nimtzeinu LeMeidim, mamish at the end of the parak, two paragraphs from the end of the parak, Nimtzeinu LeMeidim Ki Ikar Mitzias HaAdam Bo'ilam Hazeh, the main existence of a person in this world who rak l'kayim mitzvahs v'la'avoid v'lamid b'nisoyin, to mitzvahs serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and v'yomir nisoyin v'anos ha'olam ein roi sh'yiloi el le'ezer l'siyu b'lvad. For what? What should I use Olam Hazeh for? If I don't want to use it for distractions, what yet? That a person should be calm, he should be stable, he should be in a calm state of mind, in order that he should be able to turn his heart to the avodah which is motel on him. You see, Yosef Shalom over here Mesil Sashram over here gave away the equation of how much Olam Hazeh should a person take from this world, and how much Olam Hazeh defines whether you're Nidbak Lubayra or not. Says Mesil Sashram that the amount of Olam Hazeh that a person is supposed to take is a very clear equation. Is the amount that you should have Nachas Ruach and Yishuv Adas, you should have Yishuv Adas, Man Yuchal Lefanas Libu, that you should be calm, El Avoyta Azoy Samutal Lefanas, that you should have a calm mind, you should have Yishuv Adas, that you're able to clear your mind and go. That's a very, very clear equation. I always say over a dugma. And I'm going to start off with the dugma's Lekula, but I really want to speak about the dugma's Lechumra. A bacha once came to me one night, a fine guy, he's married now, he has kids. A long time ago, must be 10 years ago. Came to me one night, he said he was depressed. And he didn't tell me he was depressed, I told him he was depressed. Yeah. So I said, why are you depressed? Why are you looking like this now? So he says, because he wants to buy a Danish and a Coke. So I said, the Nakasha. No, it wasn't in the days where it was a stickle tear in those days. You had to go up to Meir Sharm to buy. It wasn't like over here where you just stretch your hand out and you take a Danish. You had to go stick a stickle tear. So I thought he's lazy. So you have a clash between interest in a thing and laziness is a serious thing. That's the reason to get depressed. We all get depressed when you get into a clash like that, right? But no, he was a tzaddik. That wasn't the reason why he was, huh? He said, you know, it's too much Kashmiris. Yeah? Tarnish. They said, straight to bust the best. Right? You're walking around depressed, learning, you know, the purpose of not getting Kashmir is to get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you're distancing yourself from Kodesh Baruch Hu because you're depressed. You walk around, you're making everybody else around you depressed. Yechayti machti. What's the pshat on that? You're not in touch with what your needs are, the final sleep. But the Mesil Shom doesn't say what you should do. Mesil Shom should have said, you shouldn't do anything. Mesil Shom says, a person has to be in touch with his body. He has to know what he needs to manifest. It means a person has a goof. And a person has to be able to feed his goof enough to manyucha lefano his liboy in order to have yishvadas. Here we say over a moshul, which is emes lamite, the halog of going only ate dry crust of bread and drank water. He was strong like an ox. Chaim Shulevitz used to say that if you didn't have flesh, you couldn't learn. I don't think he meant because of the vitamin D that came from the yeshiva chicken. That would go. I don't think that's what he meant. Yeah. The pshat is because he was in touch with himself, and he felt that that's what he needed in order to go learn. I saw in the letters from the stipler, in the book, there's a book they write about him, everything he did from the minute he got up. I think he says what he had for breakfast every day. And the guy who ate breakfast with him every morning. It says he had bread with herring juice. Haimash Yid has a time in such a thing. I do. But he said in the mornings if he didn't have the herring juice, he didn't eat the bread. You couldn't eat the bread without the herring juice, right? It was such a Magushim Dikabrus and the stipler, right? That's all he ate, come out the whole day. He's a pshat, he was in touch with himself. Is what's the pshat? The pshat is when the stipler was busy writing the Kilas Yankov at 11 o'clock, he didn't have his herring juice, he was thinking about his herring juice the whole day. Like we think about when we don't have what we need? No, I don't think so. But these are people who were in touch with their bodies, they were in touch with their goof, they were in touch with what they needed, but they mean they were healthy people, they knew that they have a goof, they didn't think they were floating somewhere in Shemayim with a harp and the word they made believe in it. That's one nekuda. That means there are two nekudas v'shtei in this Mesil Sashar. The first nekuda is that a person has to be in touch with his goof and know what his goof needs at different times in life. The same way everyone understands that what do you have to have an apartment when you get married? What do you have to live in a house? Go take a tent, put it in Central Park. Yeah, there's public bathrooms there, and you can sit on the shtei and then finish. What's the fun? Bring someone to Kashmir's home. Theoretically, right? Why not? Because everyone here understands. I'm taking it for granted. One or two of you are not sure about. I'm taking it for granted that every one of you sitting here, the pashtas wouldn't learn one word. This one's worried about the mosquito. This one's about getting mugged. And this one's busy stomping around the Manhattan. And you won't learn a word. So that's the bare minimum. We'll start from there. That's no gashmias at all, right? That everyone understands. And any, if the pshat is, a person needs to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, what he needs for his gashmias. That's poshut.
Because the mikvah is one liter of kashmis.
And it's a cheshbon that you have to make. The nekuda behind what I'm saying is that you can't copy. You can't carbon. You can't copy for somebody else. Yeah, a guy does this, and now I do that. Maybe that's his afanas liboy. Who says your afanas liboy? It's your afanas liboy. It's what you need for distractions. And it's a cheshbon nefesh that a person has to make at every stage in his life. At every stage in his life, a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh of what does he need for yeshiva das? Do I need this amount of food, and this amount of clothing? How many suits do you need? I need one suit, two suits. How many shorts do I need that I'm not going to be, if I have to wear a shirt for 3 days in a row, my shirt's ripped, this and that, am I going to be able to concentrate or not? The fact is that a person has to, a person has to know what he needs in order to be mefan his heart. That's on the cool of the kazakh. And I've seen over the years that I'm in yeshiva, already a long time, I was never at risk, so I started when I was 9. Yeah. So it's a long time already. It's almost 35 years that I've been hanging around yeshivas. And I've seen a lot of guys fall because of this. I saw this week guys fall because of this. People fell because they were makabal on themselves, kabbalas in gashmias, or involved in gashmias, whether it's sleep, whether it's eating, whether it's other things. They didn't make the cheshman of Oslovan Yukul of honestly, but they had other cheshmanas that they did. And they collapsed 2 years after they made the cheshman, because the cheshman was made either copycatting somebody else, or it wasn't Mufanas Libor, or somebody wanted to be a Kaddish. And why they wanted to be a Kaddish, each one for their own reasons. I've seen a lot of guys, I've seen tens of guys fall from this. You don't fall right away, by the way. You don't fall right away. You usually fall about a year afterwards, a year and a half. When you fall, you fall big, and everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it. You fall in public. And then you have to go put yourself together again. To come to my son. So that's on the cool of the gazach. If you're depressed, go buy yourself a Danish. Okay? Be in touch with yourself. Don't be a nar. And all the G'dayli Olam were in touch with themselves. We spoke about this at length in Al Ishur, so I'm not going over all the Pratim. In Al Ishur, we spoke about Le'ez Man at great length. The only Nekuda that I do want to mention, before I move on to what I really want to speak about, is we spoke about a Tshuva Sevan, it says a Dov Neira, that we find that Yitzchak Avinu, before he gave the Brachas, ordered Yaakov Avinu to bring him food. And it says, what's going on? Where's the food coming in over here? Middle of the Brachas, all the Davis of Klai Yisrael, of the Shlemus of the Bria, we have to eat beforehand. It sounds like American Maisa. And he says over there that the Drushas Haran says the Pshat is the Haran, the Rishon. He says the Pshat is that before you get involved in a Gashmik, in a Ruchnias Dika event of Hashras of Shechina, of bringing down the Brachas, you have to make sure that the guf's not going to interfere. So if in the middle of the brachas of Yitin Lechol Akim, all of a sudden your stomach is going to say, I want to have supper, so you can't do any proper ruchni. So first you have to take care of the guf, make sure that the guf is settled, and then you can get on with the organization before it's in the drashas around. He said, that's the pshat. But the main nekuda that says over here, with all the pain of what I'm going to say, you know, I have a cousin of mine who has the biggest fish store in Bar Park. So he once told me that it's the biggest fish store in New York, not the biggest fish store in Brooklyn. Yeah? And he told me that they made their money, but when do they make their money? They don't make the money if people buy a few slices of salmon for Shabbos and filter fish, or a live carp, all the Hungarians come in, they buy a live carp, and the ladies watch how they take color and everything. Yeah. That's how you make money. Yeah? He told me they make money when the Elam buys what they don't need. Nah, 10 pounds of this, 10 pounds of that, the great guy, the chef. The world we live in, we fight in America, it's starting to come here also, is crazy. Okay? People are not normal. They live not normal. You can hear somebody says the wife has 50 pairs of shoes. And you can hear somebody says that a girl of 17 has 20 Shabbos dresses. You go to a kiddush, you go to say, well, I haven't gone. Nobody invites me to kiddushes in New York these days. I get reports, I hear what goes on there, I hear what goes on in Simchas, I hear people make bar mitzvahs. Is how does people look at it? Is most people say it's overdone, it's unnecessary. To the heart they say they wish they could do it. But nobody gets up and says that the guy's a koifer. They're shagits. But the guy gives money and he goes to shir twice a day. And it looks like an Erel Chiyah. The guy's an Erel Chiyah. He's plenty overspent. Wants to make people feel good. You know, the Nosso, you go to Shabbos meal, there's 4 types of meat, 3 types of chicken, 17 salads. And it's under the guise of a bread guy. It's under the guise of a Nosso Orchim. I'm telling you that it's not. I'm telling you that it's coming from a ligging in Olam Hazeh. And the whole world in New York It's just that nobody has the money to do it. But everybody wants to do it. And I have a raya. The second anybody gets a buck, they do it. There's very few people who have self-control. That means the atmosphere is that, yeah, rather there's Yisurim, you can't be over on the rises, and never HaKadosh Baruch Hu blocked us and all types of things. You can't give shrimp. But everything else that you could give, you're going to give. And that's a novel Bereshus HaTorah. So what's the problem with novel Bereshus HaTorah? The problem with novel Bereshus HaTorah is that you don't believe in Olam Haba. That you don't believe Olam Haba is a tuffle. You believe this Olam Haba, and you believe this Schar, and you believe that this is Rabbeinu Shalom. But you don't believe the first part of Mesilas Hashem. You don't really believe in what the Aleph Beis of Yiddishkeit is about. You don't really believe what the Bria is about. You don't really believe that intrinsically Olam Haba has no value. Now, I'm not talking about, and I want to make myself clear, a guy oversteps himself once in a while, you know what I'm saying? You buy an extra something. I'm not talking about that. That's within the yuchal of Fanas Libra. I want to make it clear. A guy who goes, checks every day with yuchal of Fanas Libra or not, you understand? So he's going to be spending a lot of his Olam Haba in a psychiatric office. That's for sure. And he's not going to get... he'll get the Olam Haba. That's a special reward there also, I guess. You have to do something with the Olam there. That's not the pshat. So you don't check yourself every day. So a guy who oversteps himself, see, oversteps himself. I'm talking about a way of life. I'm talking about legitimacy. You should know that people... That there's an atmosphere of over. Right? We're talking about way, way, way over in need. And the amount they throw out, and the amount... and how people dress, and what they have in their closets, and what they do on vacations, and how they do. And it's all legitimate. Nobody says, you're a shagetz. If a guy from Chal Shabbos, what they say? He's a shagetz, right? I'm telling you this is worse. Say that? That's what I have to say.